Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. The dog days of summer have arrived, and as we near mid-August, perhaps you're nearing the end of your summer reading list. For those looking for new titles to bring to the beach, we've got you covered. Here with a list of best overlooked books to add to your summer reading list are Michelle Philgate. She's contributing editor at Literary Hub and board member of the National Book Critics Circle. Michelle, great to have you back with us.
It's always great to be here, Virginia.
Also, Isaac Fitzgerald. He's books editor for BuzzFeed. Hello, Isaac. Welcome back.
Hi, Virginia. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's start with you, Isaac. What tops your list for the best overlooked summer reading book?
All right. So I feel like, and Michelle's going to say this too, but I want to start out by saying these are books that I love that I feel like aren't getting enough attention, but I don't want to call them overlooked because it's not like they're sitting in dusty corners ignored. These are books that are very, very wonderful, and they've grabbed certain people's attention, but my hope is to bring them to even wider audiences.
So they're not orphans, but they're not Daniel Silva.
Yeah, you know, they're not exactly tap dancing, getting parades thrown for them, but God, they're good and they deserve it. They deserve the parades, Virginia. So first up is Homegoing by Yah Jesse. It's her debut novel, and it has this, it's this just really cool, like this riveting structure where it follows two half-sisters in 18th century Ghana and the lives of their children and then their children's children and then their children's children and so on. One sister is kidnapped and sold into slavery in America, while the other, the wife of a slave dealer, remains in Africa. And so, like I said, each chapter follows a new generation of their descendants, and that really makes you feel the passage of time and the different way these lives kind of separate. It's a beautiful book.
That's actually on my book lust list. I've heard
a lot
about it from a lot of people.
Now,
Michelle, we got a list from you, and you only included two novels, which may or may not be unusual for you. I know you have a wide variety. So let's start with the novels. Which did you choose?
Yeah, like Isaac, these books that I've chosen, you know, they have gotten critical attention, and I just believe that they deserve all the attention. So the first book I want to talk about is The Sport of Kings by C.E. Morgan, which has gotten acclaim from two of my favorite critics, Dwight Garner at The New York Times and Catherine Schultz of The New Yorker. The Sport of Kings is this epic, great American novel. It's really one of the most ambitious books I've read recently. It's set in Kentucky. It follows the Forge family over multiple generations. And it's also about horse racing. Henry Forge, the patriarch, decides to turn his family's farm into a horse racing farm. But it's also very, very much about a topic that is something we need to address constantly, especially lately, which is racism. And that explores it in a very nuanced way in this book. I also, you know, as I've said before on this show, I'm a huge fan of sentences, mostly more than plot. And this book, just the sentences are like a fever dream. The prose is incandescent. It's gorgeous.
What else you got? Problems by Jade Sharma.
Yeah, so Problems by Jade Sharma. I just interviewed her for the Los Angeles Times. It was published by Emily Gould's publishing company called Emily Books. I'm a huge fan of what she chooses to publish along with Ruth Curry, her co-publisher. This is a book about Maya, who is a heroin addict. And she's in a failing marriage. She's also in a failing affair. And she's just kind of going through the motions in her life. I love how raw this book is. It's very stream of consciousness. And it's told with a mordant sense of humor, too.
It sounds really timely, both of them in their own way, heroin addiction and also racism. But Isaac, now you chose a novel before about 18th century Ghana. What else have you got for us? Maybe something a little more contemporary?
Yeah, I can. Well, and just so you know, that other book does move through time. But yes, I can bring you right up almost to present day, which is Private Citizens by Tony Tulatamudi. And as we're talking about things getting critical acclaim, the person that's championing this book quite a bit is Jonathan Franzen. And he actually doesn't come out to really talk about books that often these days. So it's been really interesting to watch him mention this book time and time again. So Tony's book, it's Tony Tullitamudi. It's his debut novel as well. It's about four post-college friends stumbling along and screwing up in late 2000s San Francisco. So a very modern book. And it's, you know, I'm a little partial to this book myself because I spent time in San Francisco. So I really enjoyed reading about it. But I feel like anyone from anywhere in the country kind of interested in today's youth and youth culture can appreciate this book. The characters are something, they're incredibly smart, and they sometimes get in their own way. But I can say this about Tony Tullitamudi's writing. It is also incredibly smart, but he never gets in his own way. He's entertaining and he's insightful. It's just really, if you're a sentence person, I think you'd really enjoy it, Michelle.
Okay. Awesome.
You also recommended a book that is set in India. We interviewed previously the author of this, Karan Mahajan. This is The Association of Small Bombs. Tell us why you liked it.
Man, I just love this book so much. And I'm so glad to hear that you had him on this show because he is such a wonderful, terrific writer. I feel like one of the best young writers out there today. And The Association of Small Bombs, it examines an act of terrorism in a way that feels both panoramic and personal. There's, as you know, there's this bomb and it explodes in the Delhi marketplace. And we follow a boy who survived the explosion and the family of these boys who did not. The novel, so it's very nuanced. Like, what I really loved about it is the way that it just deals and dives into grief and what it is to feel guilt. Mm-hmm. And the ways in which violence kind of can flower and set off other chain reactions or association of small bombs. And it takes us through a really empathetic way of looking at how a terrorist could come to be radicalized.
Yeah, I loved that also, you know, this whole notion of a small bomb. You know, we hear about these huge explosions, but small ones happen every day all over the world, or almost every day all over the world, and they're not examined in the same way. I really liked that he was picking that up.
Absolutely.
Michelle, you recommended a couple of memoirs, one of them set right here in New Hampshire.
Absolutely.
Ooh, good
yeah.
choice.
So the Penny Poet of Portsmouth by my friend Catherine Towler, I would pick this book even if she wasn't a good friend of mine. This is just a gorgeous meditation on what it is to be a writer and the life of a writer. It's about her friendship with Robert Dunn, who was the poet laureate of Portsmouth from 1999 to 2001. And towards the end of his life, he passed away when he was 65. Catherine became his caretaker. She became his close confidant, his friend. And this was a man who was deeply private, who was much beloved in the community. He was known for selling books of his poems on the streets of Portsmouth for a penny apiece. And he was very content with being a minor poet. He didn't care for fame and fortune, which is a good thing because most poets don't have that.
But I'm happy to say that we also interviewed Catherine on this program.
Oh, I'm so glad. Catherine's just an incredible writer, and this book is just a very good examination of both what the solitude required for a writing life and the community that you need to draw from as well.
Solitude comes up again in Olivia Lang's memoir, The Lonely City.
Yes, so I'm a big fan of her writing. She is really great at taking cultural criticism and her own personal story and blending it together. And if you couldn't tell, I have a theme here of loneliness in some of my books. I don't know what that says about me, except that I really do like reading about that. So Olivia's book is set in New York, and it focuses on artists who explore loneliness in their own work. So she talks a lot about Andy Warhol and Edward Hopper and her own experience living in New York for a while. At one point in the book, she says something that really resonated with me that I quoted in an essay I wrote for Lit Hub on loneliness. She said, "Loneliness feels like such a shameful experience, so counter to the lives we are supposed to lead, that it becomes increasingly inadmissible, a taboo state whose confession seems destined to cause others to turn and flee." And I really love that. And what I think about that is, what if we don't flee? What if we listen to that sentiment?
That's Michelle Philgate. She's with us along with Isaac Fitzgerald, sharing some of their recommendations for some of the books that, all right, let's revise this, did not get as much attention as they think they should have this summer. How's that for you guys?
Absolutely. Yeah. Every one of these books should have been on the cover of the New York Times.
Okay. Isaac, what else is on your list?
So I've got Here Comes the Sun by Nicole Dennis Benn. It delves into the complex lives of three women residing near a resort on Montego Bay, Jamaica. This book, it's beautiful, it's devastating, and it's this exploration of love. What we do for family and familial love, what we do in the name of romantic love, and the ways in which communities can crush that love. These three characters, they struggle with a lot, and Dennis Benn, like, she writes them so amazingly well as these living, breathing people. There's so much more than a sum of their issues. And one of the other reasons why I think this is just a great book to fit in before the end of summer is that this book really does kind of look at the ways where places that where a lot of people feel like they're just going as vacation and they're going as tourists, the way in which that can kind of affect people that actually live and come from and have roots in those areas.
How about you, Michelle? What is it that makes for a good summer read for you?
For me, it's the ability to feel like I'm not in New York City where I live, something that makes me escape. So it doesn't always have to be light reading. I actually prefer darker reading in the summer. And, you know, my last pick here is a book that just came out, so it hasn't even had time to get the buzz that it deserves. But it's Nadia Spiegelman, the daughter of the famous graphic novelist Art Spiegelman. Hmm. And it's her memoir called I'm Supposed to Protect You from All This. What this book does is really goes into the process of writing memoir in a way that's just beautiful. It's all about stories and being in control of the stories that you're told and being the narrator of your own life. So she started interviewing her mother, who is the art director of The New Yorker and the publisher of Toon Books. When she was in college, she decided she wanted to start talking to her mother about her mother's life. And then she decided to start talking to her grandmother, who lives in Paris, who she wasn't close with at the time. And through their stories, you know, they would sometimes tell different versions of the same stories. She creates this remarkable narrative. And she also weaves in her own story now as a new generation of this family. So it's also about, you know, what it is to be a woman in a family.
Okay, Michelle, you said that you like dark books in the summer. When do you not like dark books?
That's true. I like them all the time.
Isaac, how about for you? What makes a good summer read for you?
Good one, Virginia. First off and foremost, I really enjoyed that. For me, it's really about the same as what Michelle's saying, this ability to escape. But for me, I also really like big books in the summer. I feel like it's when I can just really tackle a giant tome that I maybe have had a hard time making time for. But I'm also going to back up what Michelle's saying about kind of darker reads, because I actually do find myself leaning towards the lighter in winter, because I need to remember. I need to know that there's light at the end of the tunnel. But in summer, it's almost when I feel like I have more room, more ability to move, where I can tackle a larger book that might be a little intimidating in another season.
Well, Isaac, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Isaac Fitzgerald, books editor for BuzzFeed and co-founder of Pen and Ink. That's a Tumblr of tattoos and the stories behind them. And Michelle, great to have you with us as always.
Thanks for having me.
Michelle Philgate, she's a writer and contributing editor at Literary Hub and board member of the National Book Critics Circle. And we want to let you know that we will have a list of all of the books deserving of more attention that Michelle and Isaac shared with us at wordofmouthradio.org.